Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, all right. Good morning. It's an honor to be with you today. My name is Eric Colquitt. I am the Connection Pastor here, and I'm thankful to be able to share with you today. I'm excited to be able to finish this series out that we've been in called Stories. I don't know about you, but I have thoroughly enjoyed the messages we've heard during this series from our pastor. I've gotten so much out of them, and we're gonna continue on today with another story. Before we jump into that, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever done something crazy to be close to or to see a celebrity or a famous person? Yeah, I hear some laughs out there. A few of you have. Or you probably, if you're not that person, I'm not that person. I wouldn't do anything like that. But you probably know someone who has done something crazy to see a celebrity. Something, you know, like a kind of like a celebrity stalker or something. Well, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, if you are that person, where maybe you were in the same room of the celebrity, but you just couldn't quite see them. What did you do? Did you push your way through the crowd? Did you try a different vantage point? Or maybe you just gave up and went home. Whatever the case is, the people around you, whatever the crazy thing you were doing, they thought you were a little bit insane. They probably still think you're a little bit insane for the things that you do. Well, the story we're going to look at today is about a guy that was nearby Jesus, and he did something pretty crazy just to see Jesus. And the interesting thing about this guy is that he was searching for something. He had a longing deep within his soul, and he was searching to try to find what it was to fill that. And I believe that there are some of you here today that feel the same way. You're searching for something. You're desperately trying to fill something deep down in your soul. And no matter how hard you try, and when you think you finally found something, you end up finding yourself searching again. Well, the good news for you today is that by the end of our time, I'm going to tell you what the one thing there is that can truly satisfy your soul forever. The story we're going to look at today is found in the book of Luke in the New Testament. And all the stories we have about Jesus, primarily all of them, are found in the first four books of the New Testament. And each of these authors give us kind of a different view of Jesus and what he was doing. And from time to time, they give us a story that the other authors don't write about. And the story we're going to look at today is one of those stories. It's only found in the book of Luke. So I think that's significant, and I think that we can learn something from this story. Jesus, at this point in his ministry, was towards the end of his time. And he had gone all over the countryside, preached to hundreds of people. He had performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And at this time, he had a huge following. He was heading to Jerusalem at this point, where ultimately he would be sentenced to die. And as he's heading to Jerusalem, he goes through this town called Jericho. Now, Jericho at this time was a major trading hub. Many goods would come and go through this city. And that's where we pick up our story. Check this out. Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. As I mentioned, Jericho was a trading town, which meant Zacchaeus, who we see mentioned here, the tax collector, would place a tax on goods leaving town and coming into town. This made him very wealthy. And not only that, we see that he was the chief tax collector, which meant he was over other tax collectors, which would have meant he was even more wealthy. Now, let me give you a little bit of insight to tax collectors in this day and time. This is tax season for us, all of us today, so it's kind of interesting that we're talking about a tax collector today. Well, in this day and time, tax collectors were among the most despised people in society. They were known to overtax people. They would take the tax that was over what they were supposed to be taxing people and take that money and line their pockets. So that made them very wealthy. They were also known to sympathize with the Roman occupiers, which also made people mad at these tax collectors. So Zacchaeus would have been a guy who was very much looked down upon. No one would have liked him. He would have had very few friends. Let's keep going. So Jesus is coming into town, and Zacchaeus, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Now, for just a minute, I have to pause and I have to do something. I need you to bear with me for just a second. I need your help, though. I need you to help me by clapping, okay? Here we go. We're going to clap like this. You ready? There we go. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. That's it. No more. So I grew up Baptist. When we heard about this story, we learned this song. It goes on, but I will spare you. Trust me, you don't want to hear me sing anymore, especially with this cold I've got. But TJ, I'll be waiting for my call for next week for my solo, right? Let me read this verse again so we can get back into this. So, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Cue the stalker moment that we have in our story. What was this guy doing? He ran and he climbed a tree because he couldn't see Jesus. Now, not only was he acting kind of like a stalker in this moment, but he was a strategic stalker because he went and climbed this particular tree. These sycamore trees were frequently planted along the road because they had wide, expansive branches, and they were great for shade. So he picked the best spot to go and see Jesus. Now remember, Zacchaeus was a prominent member in town. People would have definitely known who he was. Now, they didn't like him at all, but they knew who he was. To see this guy going, running and climbing this tree would have been very shocking. To me, it's kind of like the movie A Christmas Carol. Have you guys seen that movie? I love that movie around Christmas time. Remember when Ebenezer Scrooge woke up from his horrible dream to figure out that he was still alive? What did he do? He ran out of his house in his pajamas. He was kissing babies. He was singing Christmas carols. He even grabbed onto the back of a horse carriage and slid through town. The townspeople had no idea what he was doing. What is wrong with this guy? Well, I kind of think that's what the people were thinking when they saw Zacchaeus run and climb this tree. Now, this is kind of a funny little thing to put in this story and to talk about. But I believe that there's something that we can learn from this. I believe that there's definitely something in this story that we can learn. What's going on here? Well, there's no doubt at this point Zacchaeus had heard of Jesus. As I said, Jesus was well along in his ministry. He'd been all over the countryside. People knew about him. There's no doubt that Zacchaeus had heard of the miracles he was performing, of the people he was healing. There's no doubt that he had probably even heard about the teachings that Jesus had taught. And so his curiosity was through the roof. He probably also heard about another tax collector in another town and what had happened with him. Zacchaeus may have even been friends with this guy. One day, Matthew, another tax collector, was sitting at his booth. Jesus walked up and said, "Hey, Matthew, come follow me." Matthew left everything behind and became one of Jesus' disciples. So Zacchaeus had heard of the things that were going on. He had heard of this guy, and all he wanted to do was to get a glimpse of this guy he had heard so much about. And when you get to the place where Zacchaeus was, when you're at rock bottom, and you get a glimpse of this guy that you've heard so much about, well, that changes things. That changes the things he was thinking about. You see, what's going on here is what Zacchaeus discovered in this moment is that when you get around Jesus, things begin to change. And that's what we're going to see throughout our story. And he discovered that a new perspective produces new priorities. You see, he didn't care what other people were thinking about him in this moment. He didn't care what the townspeople would think when he ran to climb this tree. He had an encounter with Jesus. He had a chance to see this guy he'd heard so much about. And that changed things. He began with a priority to see Jesus. And what did he do? He gained a new perspective. And that perspective produced new priorities, as we'll see as we continue to read our story. You guys can understand this point. Think about major life changes that you've experienced. Students, before you get your driver's license, you've got a completely different perspective and a completely different priorities about life. After you get your driver's license, it changes things. You've got freedom, right? You can go wherever you want. When I think about my life before I got married, as a single guy, my perspective and my priorities were way different than after I got married. Especially after we had children. When my wife and I were just the two of us, our perspective and our priorities were really different. We could stay out late. We could do whatever we want to. We could spend our money on whatever we wanted to. And then we had kids. And that changed a lot. Many of you can remember what it was like before you knew God. You look back at the person you were, and you can barely recognize that person. Why? Because when you encounter God, when you encounter Jesus, it changes things. It changes your priorities. That's exactly what was happening to Zacchaeus at this moment. His priorities were changing. He gained a new perspective, and it changed the way he thought about things. He forgot. He didn't care what people around him were thinking about. All he knew is he had a chance to get a glimpse of this guy he'd heard so much about. And not only did he get a glimpse of this guy, he got so much more. Let's keep reading. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus. So, Zacchaeus had run and climbed this tree. He was too short, so he had to go get to a place where he could see Jesus. So he climbed this tree, and Jesus is coming down this road. He's got all these people crowded around him. They're trying to touch him. They're trying to hear the words he's saying. So Jesus comes walking by, and he comes up to the tree. He stops, and he says, Zacchaeus. Now imagine what was going through Zacchaeus' mind at this point. The guy he was just trying to get a glimpse of had just called his name. Don't miss this point. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus, the guy that he just wanted to see, just get a glimpse of, had now come and called his name. It blew his mind in this moment. Not only when you get a new perspective that produces new priorities, this is only possible because proximity to Jesus produces a personal connection. When you encounter Jesus, it's personal. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was seeking him out. Jesus knows when you're seeking him as well. He knows your name. Not only did Jesus call him by name, something else even more dramatic happens next. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. All Zacchaeus wanted was a glimpse of this guy he had heard so much about. His curiosity was through the roof. He was very curious about seeing Jesus. But it's clear in this moment that Jesus' curiosity in Zacchaeus was much, much greater. He wanted a personal connection with this guy. Imagine the God of the universe wanting to get to know this low-down person of society, people that nobody liked. When he looked at Zacchaeus, he didn't see a guy who had cheated people. He didn't see a crook. He saw a guy who had some money, but he saw a guy who had no joy and no purpose. And most importantly, when Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, he saw someone with an open heart. It's the same with you and I. He wants a personal connection with you. Maybe you can identify with Zacchaeus in this moment. The place you find yourself is not at all where you hoped you would be. You've gone down a road and you've done some things that you're not proud of. And maybe you think there's nobody that can talk to you, that you can talk to about this situation. You feel isolated. I want you to know that there's somebody who is highly interested in you. They care about you. He cares about you. He cares about your situation. He knows the things that you've done to other people, and he's ready and willing to look past those to come and hang out with you. When he looks at you, he doesn't see the scars of sin. He's looking for somebody with an open heart. Not only does proximity to Jesus produce a personal connection, but it also offers an invitation to intimacy. Jesus wants to sit and dine with you. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. That's what he wanted with Zacchaeus. That's what he wants with you as well. Maybe there are some of you here in the room today that you look at the excitement that Zacchaeus had as he was trying to just get a glimpse of Jesus. And you look at your relationship with God at this point. Maybe you've known God for a long time, but the relationship you have is just kind of, you go to God when you need something. He's the cosmic vending machine. And you don't know what's happened to that joy and that excitement you have. I want you to know that there's hope for you today because Jesus knows your name. He wants to hang out with you as well. So in this moment, Zacchaeus had the excitement of getting to hang out with Jesus. I bet he couldn't get down from that tree fast enough. I bet he skinned his legs up as he climbed down the tree. Or maybe he grabbed the tree limb and swung down with one hop. It says he had great excitement and joy because Jesus was coming to his house. Let's keep reading because there's one more major point I want you to see. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. What's going on here? Well, at this point in Jesus' ministry, he was surrounded by a lot of religious leaders who didn't understand his mission. In fact, they were always seeking to try to figure out ways that they could trap him in something he said. They were jealous of the influence that he had. They had no idea why he'd ever want to go hang out with somebody like Zacchaeus. There's a lesson for us in this as well. Not only when you encounter Jesus do you gain a new perspective which produces new priorities, and that's possible because of a personal connection, but something else happens. The abnormal becomes normal. The abnormal becomes normal. What does that mean? Well, throughout our time, we've talked about when you encounter Jesus, things begin to change. Well, let me show you what the definition of change is. Change is the act or instance of making or becoming different. Different from what, you say? Well, the norm. How many of you know that when you begin to do things different, people around you begin to notice? Sometimes they even begin to grumble and they get upset because they just don't get what's going on with you. Here's the deal. When God begins to change your life, when God begins to do things inside you, things begin to change. And the people that are closest to you, especially those people that don't know God, they will not understand what's going on in your life. The abnormal will become normal for you. Let me show you what I mean. People won't understand when all of a sudden you decide to start giving 10% of your income to the church. They won't get it. That's very abnormal, right? People won't understand when all of a sudden they start to see pictures of you on Facebook getting baptized. That's a very abnormal thing, but for you, that's a normal thing. Why? Because God is changing your life, and he asks us to take that step. People won't understand, ladies, your friends won't understand when all of a sudden you stop participating in those conversations where you're tearing down your husband, and you instead choose to honor who God's placed in your life. That's a very abnormal thing to do, but it will become a very normal thing in your life because God is changing you. Students, your friends won't understand why you make it a priority to be here every Sunday and every Wednesday so that you can hear more about God and learn about him. They have no idea why you like to serve the community instead of going to whatever party they're inviting you to. You're doing what they see as very abnormal things, but for you it's a very normal thing because God is changing your life. Those around you will have no idea why you decide to be here every single week and make being at Wellspring a priority instead of sleeping in or going to the game or going to the beach or going to the mountains. They won't understand why this has become a very normal thing in your life. Just like in Zacchaeus' life, people around him began to grumble. People didn't understand what was going on in his life. The same thing will happen in your life when God begins to change you. There's another way that the abnormal becomes normal. And it has to do when you begin to share your faith with others. How many of you have ever tried to walk up to a stranger and talk to them about Jesus? That can be a very difficult thing to do, right? It's a very abnormal thing. Well, at Wellspring, we encourage you to take these conversations to people that you're friends with, because those are the most effective conversations. Why? Because when you're talking to a friend about Jesus, they trust you. They'll already begin to lean in a little bit. They may not understand everything you're saying, but because you're friends with them, they'll lean in. They'll say, let me think about that. We do the same thing here at Wellspring. It's our desire to tear down the walls of the abnormal each and every week. We'll go to great lengths to do that. We're not afraid to have a giant dinosaur in the lobby every week. We do that for a reason. It's very abnormal for some people to even try to go to a church. But if they know you got a dinosaur in their lobby, they're like, I got to go check that out, right? We train our guest services team to be extremely friendly. Why? Because we're tearing down the walls of the abnormal. We want people to be extremely comfortable when they come through our doors, so that by the time they get to this room, they can hear from God. The abnormal will become normal. That's exactly what was happening in the life of Zacchaeus. Another way that we do this at Wellspring is that we have a core value here. And it says, we invite you to belong before you believe. Why do we have that value? Why do we say that? Because we believe that this is the best place you can be to hear from God. We want you to be here to hear from God. Come on in. If you don't know God, come be a part of us. Be here. Because we know once you get here, the things that seem abnormal will become normal to you, because you'll have an experience with the God of the universe. So as Zacchaeus' life had begun to change, as Jesus began to hang out with him, people around him were talking. They were grumbling because they did not understand. But I want us to keep reading, because I want you to see Zacchaeus' response in this moment, because I think it's very key to what we're talking about. Let's keep going. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. So they've gone to have dinner. Zacchaeus stands up after dinner and he says, Meanwhile, I will give half my wealth to the poor. It's obvious that something has happened in Zacchaeus' life. It's obvious that he has experienced a change in his life. I think that this statement that we see from Zacchaeus to Jesus in this moment is kind of an illustration of everything we've been talking about. Check this out. A new perspective produces new priorities. Immediately, he puts down the idea of his wealth. He doesn't care about his wealth anymore. All he wants to do is help those that he's taken so much from. Proximity to Jesus produces a personal connection. Check out what the verse says. This guy that Zacchaeus was just trying to get a glimpse of, who was coming into town, now Zacchaeus is calling him Lord. He's had a personal connection with the God of the universe. The abnormal becomes normal. The people at Zacchaeus' dinner party would have had no idea, could not have believed what he was saying at this moment. He said, if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them four times as much. That would have blown them away. They could not have believed what was coming out of his mouth. It's obvious that Zacchaeus' life had changed. And the reason his life had changed in such a big way is because of Jesus. And what we're going to see next is Jesus' response back to Zacchaeus. And this is exactly why Jesus came to this earth. Check this out. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus articulated his mission. What was his mission? His mission was to seek and save those who were lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He was up in that tree. Jesus came and did for him what only Jesus could do. He changed his life immediately, and he changed his life forever. This forever change is what drives our mission as a church. We believe in this mission too. Why? Because that was what Jesus' mission. That's Jesus' mission. We say here at Wellspring, we have another core value, and it says, we are rescued people that rescue people. Why are we rescued? Because we were utterly and hopelessly lost without Jesus coming, rescuing us from a life of separation from him, from a life of sin. That's exactly where Zacchaeus was. The second part of that says, that rescue people. How could we let this blessing stop with us? We can't, and we won't. That was Jesus' mission on earth. That was Jesus' mission to Zacchaeus. As you see, what did Jesus say? He said to Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this home today. Zacchaeus' life had been changed forever. The bottom line for Zacchaeus in this moment was this. He was searching for a star, but what he really needed was a Savior. Zacchaeus was searching for a star, but what he really needed was a Savior. He didn't need some guy to come walk under his tree, calm his curiosity, and then he would carry on with his day. No. What he needed was a Savior. He needed someone that would come and look into his soul and develop a personal relationship with him. What he needed was a Savior. He needed someone to come in and heal his brokenness. What he needed was a Savior, and a Savior is what he found on that day. Whatever you're searching for today, whatever you're looking for today, that missing piece, that missing link, it's Jesus. That's what you're missing. Stop the searching today. Today is the day that you can stop looking, because what you need, what you're looking for is Jesus and a relationship with Jesus. Why do I know that? Because here's the bottom line for you today. When you encounter Jesus, you encounter change. When you encounter Jesus, you encounter change. As we've seen throughout this story, Jesus changes things in people's lives. Jesus changed Zacchaeus. The man he was when he climbed that tree was completely different than the man he was when he came down the tree and spent time with Jesus. Maybe you can identify with Zacchaeus. Maybe you are in that place where you can't figure out the next steps to take. You're on the road where the path that you never thought you would be on. You've done some things that you're not proud of. And maybe you've heard about this Jesus. Maybe you even have a friend whose life has been changed by Jesus, and you've experienced them doing some abnormal things. Maybe you're here today, you just need to get a glimpse of Jesus. You've heard about him, you were interested, so you came today just to get a glimpse of him. For you today, if I'm talking to you today, if that's you, I've got great news for you. It's like I've said earlier, Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. And he wants a personal connection with you. Why not consider coming down from that tree today and inviting Jesus into your life? Stop the searching. Stop looking for whatever there might be out there to calm your soul. The answer that you're looking for today is Jesus. Because when you encounter Jesus, you encounter change. If I'm speaking to you today, if that's you, if you know, if your heart's beating fast right now, and you know Jesus is ready and willing, he's there waiting on you to invite him in, why don't you do that today? Why don't you do that right now? You're only one simple step away from doing that. I'd like everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes with me. If that's you today, if you're here today and you just came to get a glimpse of this Jesus, if you came to figure out what the fuss is all about, why not open your heart to him today? Pray this prayer with me. Just repeat it in your heart. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today, I'm ready to begin a lifelong journey of knowing you. Today, I'm ready to sit and to learn from you, and I'm excited to do so. Thank you for giving me new life. Thank you for giving me new purpose. Today, I'm ready to make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer with me for the very first time, I want you to do a couple things. First, I'd like to know. We'd like to pray for you. We'd like to encourage you. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Raise your hands. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, raise your hand. Thank you. Keep them up. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Okay, you can look at me. If you prayed that prayer today, we are celebrating with you. We are so excited for you. I want you to know that heaven is rejoicing for you today. You've began a new life. I want you to do a couple more things with me. On your connection card, in your chair, there's a box that says, "Today I became a Christ follower." Check that box. And if you will, take that connection card either to the info desk or to the blue room when we're done today. There's one more thing I'd love for you to do. At the end of our service, we're going to sing one more song in just a second. We have a prayer team that would love to talk with you. They would love to spend just a few minutes with you, praying with you and encouraging you. Why don't you come and talk with them? They'll be right here at the end of each of these aisles, ready to connect with you. Do that today. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the decision that you've made. It's a life-changing decision. Let me pray for us, and we'll continue on. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you have done today. Thank you for the lives that have been forever changed. Thank you for the sacrifice of coming to this earth to save us. Thank you for coming to give us what only you could give. And we thank you for those that made the decision today. And Lord, I pray that you would help them take that next step of letting someone know so that we can pray with them and encourage them. Thank you for all that you continue to do through Wellspring. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.